Wherever cancer is, Hancock Health will fight. In any part of you and in all corners of East Central Indiana. From Indianapolis to Greenfield, to Knightstown to Greensburg. From hospital rooms to family rooms, we fight. With technology and medicine. With care backed by the wisdom of Mayo Clinic. For you, for your family, and for your future in Decatur County. We fight cancer here. HancockHealth.org/cancer.
Good morning. It is Thursday, April 11th. It is 5 minutes after 11. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Hey, Rob, let's begin the program by giving an update on the Masters. How's it going so far?
Hey, we're two holes in for the first group no birdies yet.
Okay, so you haven't won any money.
So
yet.
Even par right now is winning the Masters, Casey.
You know, early voting has begun here in the great state of Indiana.
Yes.
And if you would like to know where you can go early voting, we encourage you to go to indianavoters.in.gov.
Let's talk about voting for a second, shall we?
Yes,
because
please.
I had this conversation with somebody yesterday, and we were talking about the, and this is actually somebody who is very affiliated with a very important campaign in the state, so that probably really ought to narrow it down for the people. And I was talking with this person about how none of the candidates have really done anything to separate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the polling, and it has kind of been multiple polls in a row, the one Abdul did, there have been others, where you see Braun with a sizable but ever shrinking lead, both in his lead over the other participants and his percentage of the vote. And you see three other candidates kind of bunched up together, Crouch, Doden, and Chambers. And the reason for that is it's sort of all the same generic person. None of these candidates that are kind of the top four people have offered the voter a separation on what delineates them or what separates them from the other people. And so Braun is by default one on name ID.
Mm-hmm.
And as you've seen the negative ads against Braun come out, they have taken some of his vote. But these other candidates aren't really capitalizing on it to the point where it's like, okay, here's the clear person in second. Hey, if you're an anti-Braun vote, here's the person you're going to have to get behind, because there aren't really any bold ideas that people are fired up about.
There is one thing that I think is setting Suzanne Crouch apart from Doden and Chambers, and that is her issues on mental health. She's been hammering away at that, and I think that that is getting the attention of maybe the female vote, the woman vote.
Well, but this is but where is she? So I had this conversation with this person yesterday. I see, now granted, I don't have cable. So the only time I see cable is when I'm at my dad's house watching a sporting event. But on the streaming services I have and the cable that I do see, I see Braun ads.
Mm-hmm.
I see a ton of Chambers ads. I see Doden ads. I have not seen a single Suzanne Crouch ad. Now, maybe she's not buying time on ESPN, and maybe she's not buying time on the streaming services that I'm using.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no idea what ads she's running. I understand they're out there, but I have not seen them. It seems like, in terms of who are you seeing the most of, it's very clearly Chambers number one,
mm-hmm.
Braun and Doden kind of 2A, 2B, and then she's out there somewhere, but I'm not seeing her.
But isn't that also aligning with how much they have for money
for
their campaign?
You're right. But it is interesting. Like, if you're a voter and you take your personal allegiance that you have, because some people are personally have known Suzanne Crouch for years, are going to vote for her. Some people have known Braun for years, are going to vote for him. You take those personal allegiances out. If you're a voter and you're trying to work through what are these candidates going to do and what are they going to do for me, can you tell me, Casey, in any sort of concrete fashion, what these candidates, any of them, will do on property taxes?
Yeah. Well, Doden said what? He wants to give a break to seniors?
Matter. It took you that long,
yeah.
And you're into it, and you had to think about it. Now, Doden apparently has an ad out that came out today. I've not seen it yet, that talks about how he wants to do something to help seniors with property taxes.
Yeah.
There is not for a single solitary second, if it took you until April the 11th,
mm-hmm.
to put your ad out about it, that you're passionate about it. Right? Nobody believes that. You've gone kicking and screaming. Now, you're the first guy to kind of run something with any sort of specificity. Is
mm-hmm.
that right?
Yeah.
But what about me? I'm 40 years old, and I live in a very modest brick ranch house, and my wife works, and we have a child, and property taxes are crushing us too.
Uh-huh.
What about me?
Yeah.
I'm happy for the older people, and we've talked about the crisis point is at the elderly and the people who can barely afford to stay in their home. But what about me? Why does it have to be crisis point for you to care about me? And if you're trying to separate, none of these candidates are giving you really anything. Suzanne Crouch has put forward a plan to get rid of income tax. Nobody believes that she will do the necessary steps, which is cut $8 billion from the state budget. Mm-hmm. Rob Kendall, oh, he'd totally do that. Suzanne Crouch, nobody believes that. So you're not, that's not a serious proposal. We don't believe that you have the track record or the wherewithal. And none of these candidates are talking about doing anything as it relates to helping the majority of people get ahead in their existence, because the primary thing they're going to have to do is fight the Republican Party.
Well, I think when you look at him, you've got Braun, who's talking a lot about the border, and you mentioned he's got the name recognition. With Suzanne, it's axe the tax. Nobody believes that that's really going to happen. That just seems like it's lip service. However, she does seem to be focusing on the mental health issues within the state. And then you've got Doden and Chambers, who both seem to be focusing on the economic policies. There's a lot of undecided voters, which could sway it. I think Braun has to continue to make mistakes to secure it. So what? We'll find out in June who's going to be the nominee.
But I get all these Chambers mailers, and none of them say anything. Like, they, I know he's running. I know he's running for governor, but there's no specific, hey, Brad Chambers will blank.
Yeah.
And when you couple no specific policy plans with the fact that he stood on a stage and gave Eric Holcomb an A, it tells me that Brad Chambers will be a continuation of Eric Holcomb as governor.
Well, you asked about property taxes and what his plans are. It seems to me that his plan with property taxes has been to ignore it, but to grow the economy. Like, he's thinking economic development, and then you won't have to worry about how high your property tax bill is.
So if you just keep making more money, I mean, look, the taxes far exceed what people are making in terms of salary increase. So this is my point at all, and this is why I'm so disappointed in Curtis Hill. Because I think Curtis Hill, and I heard Tony talking about this coming in, Curtis Hill is by far the best debater on that stage. He's by far the most charismatic. He is by far the best public speaker. It ain't even close. But the nuts and bolts, and remember, Casey, I said this back in January when he's rolling in here with whatever it was, looked like a, you know, a Rolling Stones tour with people behind him. I said, what are we doing here? You're having all these people who are just following you around. That's not how you win a campaign. And Curtis Hill has not delivered on the nuts and bolts of campaigning, which is raising money, getting on television, being able to get on radio, you know, these digital, you don't see Curtis Hill anywhere other than, you know, if he's showing up at an event somewhere. So you've got to look at these four front runners and say one of them is probably going to be the Republican nominee for governor. You can't trust any of them based on their track record as elected or appointed officials and based on the way they've campaigned so far, which comes back to the thing we're doing tonight, which is trying to promote the one guy who we believe will actually be a check and balance on the Republican Party, and that's Micah.
Okay, and that information is out on my Twitter page now, Casey Daniels 317. You've got it on yours, Rob M. Kendall, if you want the details about where and when to be.
And what are you, you're doing the photo and autograph combo, is it $10? Is that, you get the photo and the signed item of your choice?
Wait a second, where's the $10 going? Is it going to me or is it going to Micah?
Well, and then are you doing, is it $3 extra for an inscription? You know, that's how you always see that. Like, if you see these autograph shows of these athletes and entertainers, it's like, we'll sign NL MVP 19, whatever.
You could be a platinum sponsor for this much, a gold sponsor for this much. Sure, whatever you need me to do, I'm there to support them.
Look, I just think it's super concerning that you have four people, one of the four is going to be governor, and you can't really anything concrete on most of them that's in the world of reality, right? I mean, if you take away Crouch's axe the tax, there's no concrete plan on any from any of these people on how they're actually going to address the issue, which is property taxes. And really, quite frankly, the other issue is out of control government. The government under the Republicans the past 7 years is totally out of control. A $44 billion budget on a state of 7 million people is ridiculous. Where does all the money go?
It is Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. And well, that leads us right into our conversation about inflation, because that news came down yesterday. The rate of annual inflation rose 3.5% for March. So I guess this means that the Fed isn't going to be cutting interest rates anytime soon. I mean, they've been threatening that they were going to do three more cuts before the year was over. And that could really cause some more more instability if they were to do it now.
Well, but we've been talking about this for 4 years now, Casey, and I think it's exhausting to a lot of people, which is the issue is government spending.
Mm-hmm.
And the government on both sides remains addicted to trying to be in the legalized vote buying game. I mean, my goodness, Casey, it was not 30 years ago we actually had a balanced budget in this country.
Yeah.
That seems like so unattainable now. And yet it was not that long ago when the government of both parties, you had a Republican Congress and a Democrat president, desired to work together. They were able to do it. Our government could do this. And I think this is what exhausts and frustrates people, which is every time, like here's a great example, that CHIPS thing that Spendingberg voted for.
Yeah.
They have this big parade in Lafayette because the South Korean company is coming and all the dignitaries and, you know, big, you know, head honchos and whatever are there. And I'm watching this going, we spent hundreds of billions of dollars. We printed hundreds of billions of dollars for this so that what this mega corporation that clearly had $3.87 billion or whatever that number was to invest could get a bunch of sweetheart deals. And the state of Indiana is going to be on the hook for like almost $700 million in giveaways. What are we celebrating here? We're celebrating that we almost don't even have a private sector anymore. Well, we have a private sector for regular people, but the elite corporations now have this gigantic leg up on the government. And so think about it. Everything got more expensive, Casey, because mm-hmm. that's printed money that Todd Young and Schumer and Biden came together on mm-hmm. for this CHIPS bill
yep.
so that this mega corporation could get a bunch of sweetheart tax breaks. So how did that help me, Casey? What did that do for me? It made everything more expensive. Clearly, it happened again.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to celebrate some mega corporation getting sweetheart tax deals. No way.
You want to talk about things getting more expensive. And this has just been under the Biden administration. $917 more per month for the same basic goods and services since Biden took office. I mean, it's a Bidenomics, right? And all of this extra spending. This is specifically for people in Indiana. The average Indiana family spending an extra $142 a month just for food. And we mentioned it earlier, if you go to the grocery store with $100, before Biden was in office, you could buy about 32 different items. Now you have to take 10 items out of your cart for the same $100. And people are having to make choices. What are they going to remove from the cart? And it's because of this nonstop spending. Somebody's got to get this under control. And when are they going to do it? I mean, you're outpricing an entire generation of homes at this rate.
But they're not going to, Casey. This is the reality for everyone who hears our voice, is that the politicians that exist right now at the state and the federal level have told you they're not going to correct this. We can't remain mad at people for doing the thing they told us they're going to do.
Right.
You have opportunities to vote these people out. If you in the 4th Congressional District send Jim Baird back to Washington, you know what he's going to do. You have a viable option in Charles Bookwalter. If you choose to vote for Jim Baird, a vote for Jim Baird is business as usual, which is the Republicans not doing anything. In the 6th Congressional District, Mike Speedy has a track record of the 15 years or whatever he's been a state legislator of growing government and growing taxes. If you send him to Washington, why would you expect that anything, absolutely anything, is going to change? All these statehouse races, if you vote for any of these incumbents, any of them, they all voted for the budget. Every single Republican voted for the budget. If you vote for any Republican senator or statehouse member, you are voting for higher taxes, out of control property taxes, out of control gas taxes, and bigger government. You can't be mad at these people. We have to stop being mad at these people. They're like addicts at this point, right? They're like addicts. You cannot be mad at the addict if you keep handing the addict the tools to use the drugs. That's what they're going to do. You have to take it away from them. And taking it away from them is taking them out of public office.
It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
You think he's boring? I think he's all right. Brooks Koepka, where is he at right now in the Masters? Has he?
No. He's not till I've got a bet on him, so he's 406.
So you got a while. You think he's boring, huh?
Well, he's incredibly boring. So Brooks Koepka is one of the greatest golfers that ever lived, and he's won 5 majors. He's won 3 PGAs and 2 U.S. Opens. Mm-hmm. He is like, if you've ever seen the movie Tin Cup. You know how the Don Johnson character gets, he's this just totally elitist, stuck up, uncool, unfriendly guy. That is what Brooks Koepka strikes me as in real life. Like, he is boring. He comes off as he's bothered every time somebody, you know, he has to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And the greatest, but Brooks Koepka did have one of the greatest on-screen moments in the history of sports, period. So one of, I think it was the U.S. Open. I think it was his second U.S. Open that he won. This woman now, I believe, is his wife. She was his girlfriend at the time. And she looks like straight out of central casting for the Housewives of fill in the blank. Like, whatever your favorite one is. Like, totally whatever you think a rich, good-looking golfer's wife would look like. She is straight out. And she was his girlfriend at the time. And he is, they always will show, like, at the U.S. Open on Sunday, the guy getting out of his car, and he's walking to the clubhouse, and he's, you know, getting ready for the, and they're showing him. And she is like on his arm, badgering him. And she goes in to try to kiss him because she knows the cameras are there and she clearly wants to be on the camera. And he doesn't want any part of this. And he just basically like brushes her off and is like, lady, I'm here to win the U.S.
Right.
Open.
He's got to focus.
She was irate.
She wanted some camera time.
Oh, it was great. It was hilarious. And she's now become his wife, I think. And they have a child together. But it got me thinking, like, I have a hard time, even though I have bet on him because he just plays phenomenal at the majors. I have a really hard time looking past people's personality to get to their talent.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I wonder, like, do you struggle with that, whether it's entertainers or athletes?
Uh-huh.
How much does who they are personally weigh into how you judge them professionally?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it really depends on how good their talent is. Because, you know, Tom Cruise, you could say he's, you know, actor of our generation, right? I think he's a little squirrely sometimes with him jumping on the couch and the whole Scientology thing. And sometimes when I watch a movie that he's in, I can kind of see the real person coming through, and that's a turnoff. But if you can really just let that go and enjoy the artistry and enjoy the movie and suspend reality for a second, I like him.
You know, I'm not talking about somebody's politics, because many of these actors and athletes or whatever, not so much golfers, they tend to be more conservative or Republican, but many of them are liberal people. I'm not talking about their politics. I'm just talking about, like, who they are as a human being. And I maybe that's a guilty flaw of mine, but I have a real hard time. Like, if I know someone is a colossal jerk.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this, like,
you don't want to root for
him. Well, we've talked about this, like, with Mellencamp, where phenomenal songwriter.
Yeah.
Incredible gift of capturing small town life. And we've talked about these kind of one or two lines in his songs where you're like, that is spellbindingly good. But you just know the guy is a colossal jerk.
Yeah.
And it makes it really hard
to enjoy the music,
to embrace the music when you know the guy behind it.
Mm-hmm. And you think that way of Brooks Koepka.
Well, it is. Yeah. He's just void of personality, and he just always comes out like he's bothered. And that being said, money is really important to me, Casey. So I did.
So you're willing to let that go.
He is on my list of people that I threw a few coinage on this week.
I came across this article and I wanted to share it with you because it is one of the most in-depth articles about one specific subject that I have ever seen in my life. And I will ask you, when was the last time, and a rainy day like today kind of might make you want to crave one of these. When was the last time you had a grilled cheese sandwich?
My wife got on a grilled cheese kick several months ago. And now Jim does most of the grocery shopping for you guys, but you tell him what to buy.
Yeah.
So he's kind of just doing your bidding at the store.
Yeah.
My wife will get on kicks of things where she's like, I want a fill in the blank. And then instead of just going to a restaurant that has that and being done with it, she'll buy all the ingredients to make the thing. And then once she's had it once, she's done with it.
Right. But you have all the ingredients to make more.
And so then I'm forced to just keep eating the thing over and 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 over again. Because my wife will just let the things rot in the fridge. She has no regard whatsoever for how much that stuff actually costs. But I, obviously, as the provider of the household, am like, well, I guess I'll suck it up and eat that.
Guess I'm eating that over and over again.
So my point on all this is she got on a grilled cheese kick a couple, I guess it's been months ago now, and she made these most elaborate grilled cheese sandwiches. They were excellent. The problem is there was so much stuff that I had to eat the grilled cheese for like 9 days in a row, Casey.
Okay, so was she buying special cheese or did she just go with American cheese slices?
What, I'm sure it was whatever the most expensive thing was. I'll take seven of that.
Well, according to this survey, the average American eats 36 grilled cheese sandwiches a year.
How many?
36
no
a year.
No way.
It's like every week and a half.
No
it?
Way.
They broke down any statistic you want to know about grilled cheese, and it is in this survey. You can find it at studyfinds.org. But most people prefer it as a meal. 53% like it as, you know, dinner. Do you know some people eat it as breakfast? I've never seen that. People in Kentucky specifically like it as a snack. Those in South Dakota want it for dinner. But in Mississippi, a quarter of the residents like it for breakfast.
That's crazy.
Now, most of the people say they like it at home to make it, you know, themselves.
Right.
White bread is the favored bread to use. And two slices of American cheese. Big debate on whether you should butter your grilled cheese.
Yeah, you got to, don't you?
Do you butter both sides of the bread or just the inside of the bread?
Just be the inside, wouldn't it? No. It'd be both sides. Yeah, no, you got to do both sides.
You got to do both sides. Yeah, I mean, put it in the skillet, get a little crisp on the outside.
If you're
going
to clog your arteries and clog some other things too, let's just go all in, Casey. Let's not sell ourselves short here.
Okay, now what about putting ham or bacon on the grill? Yeah. Is it still a grilled cheese at that
point? Well, that's the way you spice it up a little bit, and you almost make that kind of a meal when you start adding a protein to your grilled cheese sandwich. It almost becomes more, you could even add something like a little chicken to it and make it a chicken cordon bleu type of thing. I mean, there's a million different ways you could go with this.
Now, is it still a grilled cheese, though, if you're adding the chicken
to it? I'm not making the rules here, Casey. You're the one who comes up with the topics.
What about mustard? Do you ever put mustard on it?
Oh, see, now that's just ruining the grilled cheese completely to me. No.
It adds a nice little flavor to it.
Zing.
Also pickles. Pickles are good on it.
I bet a world traveler like you has some fancy French mustard that you throw on things. I don't see you putting on like...
You think I use like Dijon mustard?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't see like you in a yellow bottle of French's and just squirting it on there.
I'm a French's guy.
Now, last couple things that I want to mention in this study. Like I said, they surveyed all things grilled cheese. How do you cut it? Most people, more than half, would cut their grilled cheese diagonally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
21% would do it vertically. And then there's some people out there, 17%, who don't cut it at all.
Isn't it amazing? Like, okay, and God bless people that they get this information because it gives us show topics. However, somebody had to be sitting around and going, you know what we don't know enough about?
Grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese.
Right. And there's the toastiness level of how much you want to toast your bread.
That's the other thing we had when we had the grilled cheese. Somebody posted this in the YouTube chat.
Tomato soup.
The tomato soup.
Absolutely. You need that in there.
That was the thing that took all the time because it had to be made in an exact fashion. And it was like 9 hours later, I love you, honey, and you're a phenomenal cook. But the time spent versus, and this is my wife and I have this conversation all the time. The time spent because she's so meticulous about the stuff that she makes.
Yeah.
For the time in versus the end reward.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
not worth it.
We have a small child now.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I can't be roasting all those tomatoes and there's red peppers.
I love and
for that
appreciate
soup.
Your passion for making a perfected meal. A
little balsamic in there.
Basically, ban her from cooking because it just, that's always the way it ends up.
All right. One last statistic before we get back to news. Kentucky and Oklahoma prefer their bread burnt. Burnt.
Seems like a Kentucky thing.
On their grilled cheese sandwich. It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC.
You brought your Sunday morning sunshine.
So she said the inventory was falling off a cliff across the state. That from the president of the Indiana Association of Realtors.
She just ripped right through that. She didn't pause. She didn't know. She didn't, just no stop whatsoever.
Are you talking about the song?
Yeah.
Is that Harry Chapin?
Yeah, just let me have just like 2 seconds.
Beautiful song.
You're just totally in it for yourself.
I'm not familiar with this one. Please educate me.
It's a deep cut.
No, just move on. It's fine. Okay. You've already sucked all the joy out of it for me, Casey.
Oh, no. We're being positive, remember?
Yeah, exactly. I thought we were being positive.
Okay, I wanted to talk about real estate here in the great state of Indiana. Now, which county do you live in?
Hendricks County.
Hendricks County.
Yes.
And you were concerned about your neighbor putting their house on the market and how that would affect your property taxes,
yeah,
right?
So just a refresher, I have a neighbor who I don't know what the deal is with her, but it seems like every 3 or 4 months she lists her house for sale and mm-hmm. then will remove the for sale sign. And it sucks. We live in a world now where I get in a mass panic because I saw what she was listing it for. I went online and saw what she was listing it for. And if she's never going to get what she's asking for, hopefully. But if she does, it's like, well, crap. Then my property tax will probably go skyrocket because of the ill-conceived way we do property taxes in this state. I'm going to get punished if she sells that house.
So in Hendricks County, there were 112 houses that were for sale within the past year, which is a 9% increase year over year.
That's sold, right?
Yep, that's sold.
That's sold.
So, yeah, she might put it up for sale because, you know, there's been an increase
in
Hendricks County.
But this is the issue. It's we come back to this with this broken system, and people are looking at these politicians, these people running for governor, because they'll drive the agenda. And clearly they're not going to get any help from the General Assembly based on they've known this has been going on for 3 years and they've done basically nothing. And they're looking at these people running for governor going, please help us. This is so ill-conceived and such a backwards way of doing things, and it doesn't make sense to anyone that I'm punished. My taxes go up because some other guy made money. Well, why? On what planet? If you are out and about and you see these politicians who are running for election or re-election, stop them and ask him, does that make any sense to you? And don't let them say it's a local issue. It's not a local issue because the state sets the parameters and the mandates by which the local governments levy taxes. It is a state issue.
Okay, so Marion County cracked 1,000 sales within the past year, 1,061 homes, but they still finished 9% below last year. And the Indiana Association of Realtors is saying that the statewide market averaged 18 days from listing to pending sale, which is 2 days longer than last year. So the days on the market has dropped.
What is the end game? Look, there's a variety of reasons, and we probably don't have time to go into them here in this segment, on why, obviously, homes have exploded in price. And a bunch of it was manipulation from the government. I think that's what makes everybody so mad. The home price explosion was monetary manipulation from the government. The government came out because they, and again, a very ill-conceived plan, shut society down and try to make people not believe that they were doing immense harm and damage to our country and our world by shutting society down. They finagled money policy. Well, all that did was cause the price of everything to go up because people had access to capital, mm-hmm. which made the end purchase price cheaper because of the interest they would pay. Again, this is why people are so frustrated. The government caused all of these problems.
Indiana's median home price is now $250,000. That's 6% higher than it was a year ago. Sellers are still receiving an average of about 96% of their original list price. So I guess if you're considering putting your house on the market, you're still going to get what you're asking for. However, there's less inventory, so where are you going to move to? Those are the things you got
to
consider.
I just want to be able to afford to live in my home, Casey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it. Is that too much to ask? Like, I just want to be able to afford to live in my home. I understand I have a mortgage payment. I know what the mortgage payment is. I understand I have insurance associated with that home. I'm happy to pay those things. But it is ridiculous that the government keeps raising the cost of my mortgage every single year based on increased property taxes. When do these local governments, when do they have enough? When have I contributed enough?
So coming up, we're going to talk about a game. How about that? Will that make you happy?
Oh, yes.
And it's
you
not
bet,
golf.
Casey. Oh, damn.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy. But Hancock Well-Being at Work can help. we're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellBeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Rob.
Oh, absolutely, Casey. The Imaginary Babysitter was found in a variety of ways around my house.
Sorry, Payday, the whole litany of them, huh? You had all the boxes lined up in the closet.
I mean, it was usually like my mother would say something like, why don't you just play a board game?
Uh-huh.
I'm an only child. How am I supposed to play a board game by myself?
You know, I have an only child, too, so I played many a board game.
Are board games even a thing anymore?
They are still a thing, and so much so that there is a new Monopoly movie
in
the works.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, this comes from Margot
Robbie. There's never been one before?
No.
There's never been a Monopoly movie?
Well, I think there's been a cartoon version. But, you know,
right.
Margot Robbie, who played Barbie recently?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, her production company is going to be making the Monopoly movie. Monopoly has been around forever.
Wait. Time out. Before we go forward. Margot Robbie has a production company?
Yeah, it's called Lucky Chap.
Did she do the Barbie movie? Was that her?
Yeah. Partly.
So her company was one of the people who helped make the Barbie movie.
Yeah, she's the one who got it across the finish line, along with, I believe it was Lionsgate.
Oh, great.
But now her production company is going to turn, your favorite board game into a movie. Now, Monopoly the board game, first distributed 1935, and of course is now a global phenomenon after 9 decades of existence. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I imagine they're going to have to do a lot of CGI. And what exactly is the plot of Monopoly? Are they going to have like a Trump-like character be Mr. Moneybags? Or are they going to have a CGI dog or like a Toto sort of character to play the dog?
That's a great question, because there is no real villain in Monopoly. It is a board game, and the premise of Monopoly is to buy stuff.
Right.
There is no good guy, bad guy. Right. I mean, unless I've totally just for 40 years missed the premise of Monopoly, it is, you know, you draw the cards, you the chance, the community chess, you roll the dice, you move the little symbol around, you decide whether you're going to buy property.
Right. You do not pass go. You do not collect 200. I'm wondering if the premise of the movie will be about the players playing Monopoly, because you're right. There's really no bad guy in the game. It's the people you play against.
Well, so let's work through this, because like, is Jumanji,
uh-huh,
is that maybe a blueprint for, you know, a type of Monopoly? Like, I'm not saying plot where they enter, you know, a different world, mm-hmm, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It is a great question. Now, it has been a mixed bag of taking things that were either, you know, they were either cartoons,
mm-hmm,
or they were, I guess cartoons are probably the best ones. Like, take, for example, the Transformer movies were blockbuster, gangbuster, huge hits.
Based off of toys.
And people loved the Transformer movie.
Mm-hmm.
However, the G.I. Joe movie were largely panned by G.I. Joe people because they strayed from the cartoon.
Yeah.
There were not as many of the... And the reflection of the G.I. Joe characters on the big screen did not necessarily reflect the G.I. Joe characters in the cartoon. So there is this kind of mixed bag, and you could go on forever on these different, like the Sonic the Hedgehog is another,
uh-huh,
one. So while Monopoly, not necessarily a cartoon, although there was a cartoon, how do you take something that is a board game without a hero and a villain and apply it to the big screen?
Well, you could make it. Wouldn't it be interesting if they made it like really gritty and did kind of like the backstory of B&O Railroad Reading Railroad?
Casey, I think you're overthinking it, though. Do you really? Because do you really want the premise of Monopoly is to go have some fun? Now, there are people like the Hammers,
mm-hmm,
who will play an 8-hour, very intense, screaming at each other board game.
Yeah.
And then there are people like me who after an hour, no matter how much property you have, you're like, I'm done here.
Yeah, I'm all in, right? So who would be the banker, too?
Well, I have no idea. This is the point. Like, I think this is destined to fail, because how do you even...
Like, there is no, I can see somebody being such and such a character, because there really are no characters. The Monopoly Man is the character.
Right. Like, what are they going to have? The thumb, you know, the thumbnail, the, what do you call that? The
thimble.
Thimble. That's
yes,
it.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Like, is there going to be a CGI thimble?
I'm already declaring myself.
Race car?
I'm already declaring myself out on this, Casey.
Yeah.
I'm out.
You're not going to do it.
It sounds like a terrible idea for a movie.
When you played Monopoly, did you put the money in the center of the table? And then you got that on free parking? Was that
no,
a thing?
But
some people create their own rules with Monopoly.
But that is, yes, I've seen that, because that's, yeah, there's a variety of different ways you could play Monopoly. Obviously, like, as a kid, I didn't even know you had to bid on the property if you chose not to buy it. I always thought you could just pass and it went to the next person. And then later my wife told me, no. If you
land on it, you have to bid.
Well, yeah. If you choose not to, it goes and everybody starts bidding on the property.
Yeah.
Although then I determined later that's just the way she played it. I think you can pretty much do whatever you
Isn't
want.
Isn't that interesting? You can take a classic game that's been around for decades like that, and every family has their own rules
yeah.
that they apply to it.
It's crazy.
Something else I wanted to bring to your attention, and that is the fact that a Japanese astronaut will become the first non-American ever to land on the moon.
Oh, we were just talking about this.
We were just talking about the moon, and now Biden announced this during the Japanese Prime Minister's visit that they've had.
So we were talking about, because they want to put time on the moon.
Uh-huh.
Is that what they want to do? That
well,
was
yeah,
that's how we got into this.
A time zone.
A time zone. Thank you. And we
yep.
were like, what? There's nobody up there. And the people who are up there are up for very short periods of time. And nobody's even been to the moon for a long time. So apparently Japan
uh-huh.
is going to send some guy to the moon. Although, again, I don't understand. It's all dark all the time. What good would the moon...
Why? What are we doing up there?
Yeah, but what good would a time zone do this guy? He's up there by himself.
Well, he's going with a bunch of other Americans, and this is all part of the Artemis program. And apparently NASA looking to establish a scientific lunar base on the moon, which is going to help set the stage for future missions to Mars.
Okay. Call me a cynic here.
Okay.
But we can't even do Earth right.
Do we have to be looking in outer space?
Wait, like, why do we keep spending? I mean, we have no money. We've
yeah.
clearly printed ourselves into $34 trillion or whatever the number is now in debt. Obviously, we've seen the effects of this with inflation. And yet we're still Mickey Mousing around on things that are not immediate needs in front of us when we have so many immediate needs
right here
in front of us
on this planet.
Right.
Yeah.
Why? Like, what are we doing?
What do we have to go to Mars for? You know what? Apparently, Japan is going to provide a pressurized rover, which is going to support the astronauts that are living and working on the moon.
Yeah.
And I guess it's to help them travel farther and work longer periods on the lunar surface.
So okay.
They can do more things, whatever they're doing.
Okay. So here is my question for you.
Uh-huh.
Let's say that I said, Casey, I will give you $100 million.
Yeah.
And I will teach you how to astronaut. Clearly it takes years of training or
sure.
whatever. But I will teach you how to astronaut, and I will give you $100 million if you will go to the moon. Would
okay.
you do it?
Oh, wow. I don't think so, because I'd be afraid that I would never return
oh, yeah.
to spend my $100 million.
No kidding.
You know, it just seems very scary to me.
And
I'm someone who's afraid of heights. Could you
yes.
imagine going
yes.
in a rocket to the moon? That's the highest you can go, right?
No, and I would assume they prepare you for what it's like to like boost out of the rocket and everything
yeah.
and all that stuff. And like I said, I would arrange for a way in this fantasy that we're playing out here for you to learn how to astronaut. But I'm with you. It's to me, that's like going down in that submarine that capsized.
I was just thinking the same thing. This is like a daredevil tourism, right?
Yeah, no, I'm out.
I'm out, too. I don't think I would do it. But hey, we've never had a non-American on the moon before. But according to your president, one is coming.
How exciting.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for us today. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Kevin. And thank you for listening. This has been Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.